Hello, and welcome to The Basics, brought to you by Petso Financial Consultants. My name is Erica Much, and I am a certified financial planner with Petso Financial, and I'm joined today by Tom Brown, who is also a certified financial planner with Petso Financial. So, hi, Tom.
Hello, how are you today?
Good. So today, we just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the exciting life insurance.
Yes, life insurance is one of the most exciting things to talk about in financial planning.
Definitely. So recently we've had a couple situations where life insurance has come into play, which is pretty sad, but it can, you know, make a huge difference in your world if you actually have to use it.
Right. Had two clients that have passed away unexpectedly, and they were pretty young. One was in his early 40s. The other one was in his late 30s. And their family basically is devastated. But one had life insurance, had over $1 million in life insurance. His family's going to be fine. The other family did not have life insurance, and they're really going to struggle. And they're probably going to struggle the rest of their life until the kids are grown to be able to hopefully start on their own. But for the time being, they're really in a tough spot.
Yeah, and I guess I should mention, we're not huge proponents of life insurance. We think that there is a need and a time for it. You know, there's term life is usually what you should have. Very, very few situations in which you should have whole life, but it is specific to your situation.
Correct. And the how much you need, so forth, isn't any secret formula. But usually it's based upon something on the amount of your income is the typical way of doing it, 5 to 8 years, or I mean times your income. So $50,000, you'd have $250,000 to $400,000 worth of life insurance. And then one other thing that people don't do, they should review this every once in a while. Right. You know, we get the policy, we start the payments, and then we forget about it. And you might have been only making a little bit of money, and then a few years later, you're making a lot more. Well, now you need to insure that higher income.
Right. And why we say, you know, that 5 to 8 times salary is just so it gives a surviving spouse some time to kind of get things settled. And a lot of the times, you know, you have a mortgage that you need to pay off, and maybe that payment, you know, is too much for a single spouse income. So, you know, paying off those debts. And then a lot of the times people include college costs. So if you have children, if that's something you want to cover and you haven't, you know, saved up enough for that to happen, that can be something that life insurance can help with as well.
Correct. And as we know, as we hear quite often, people are covered through their work. Mm-hmm. They have coverage. A lot of companies will have at least $50,000 on their employees that's offered to them, and usually it's free.
Yep.
And so we will have people go, well, yeah, I'm covered at work. And that's great. That's a good policy, but that doesn't mean that that's all the coverage you need. And in fact, that can be a lot less than you need, as we were just discussing. And when you have a policy at work, you're now only covered while you're at work.
Right.
So if you leave that job, and there is a potential usually for you to continue the coverage, but most people don't, and they have to pay it out of pocket. So they usually are not covered after they leave work until they get another job that hopefully will cover them.
Yeah, getting that supplemental policy too, if you have a work policy, is important.
Right.
And life insurance policies are based on a health exam, so it does depend on if you have any kind of medical issues or anything, what your premiums will be. But, you know, sometimes it's cheaper to get an outside policy because it's based on you personally, not a group of people through your employer.
Right. Correct. And another reason to have the independent policy is that you might have started that job and you were perfectly healthy,
right,
leave the job, or during while you were working there, you've developed some chronic condition, let's say diabetes or a heart condition or something, and then you leave. You might still be relatively young, but now the life insurance company says, whoa, we're not going to cover you, right?
Right.
So being able to get that policy and have it existing and not have it based upon a coverage at work, that's another reason to look at one outside of the workplace.
And like you said, just reviewing yearly to see if anything's changed, if you need more coverage, if, you know, you're getting close to your term, that's when it's a good time to look and see, do you even need life insurance anymore? I mean, when you're getting close to retirement, a lot of people don't have the need for life insurance. Their mortgage is paid off, their kids are out of the house, and they've built up that pot of money to survive on if anything were to happen.
Right. And I think years and years ago, life insurance companies became very good at marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in fact, they are very good at marketing. They didn't kind of. They are. And so they really built their business on not only providing life insurance, but getting you to give them as much money as you can.
Right.
And that's where they have really done a great job of marketing the whole life and universal life and variable universal life and all those different type of policies that they can make look great on paper. But at the end of the day, what you really need is just pure life insurance. You don't need all the bells and whistles of all these plans because, like we were saying, we don't believe life insurance should be a permanent part of your financial plan. It should only be there temporarily until you have a time to build up your own assets to do what that life insurance is there to do.
Exactly. Life insurance is for the life insurance needs and investments. You use a different kind of vehicle to invest in.
Another couple things on gimmick life insurance. Your bank or your credit unions will offer you accidental death and dismemberment. I get one in the mail almost every week, and they offer those type of things. Those are gimmick life insurance plans. They only cover you unless you were accidental death or dismembered.
Yeah, very specific
grim
situations.
Type of thought process. But they are not pure life insurance. And so a lot of people will sign up for those thinking I just got cheap life insurance, but you're not really covered that well. And the odds that you actually die in an accident or are dismembered are very, very low. And you would want to cover those type of things with that type of policy.
Yeah, I think that was very important to point out because a lot of employers offer that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is pretty cheap because the chances of mm-hmm. passing that way are mm-hmm. a little bit lower. But it's cheap insurance, so people think they have a lot of coverage, but mm-hmm. it's only for those specific situations, like you said.
And then one other thing is life insurance on kids.
Right.
We're not big proponents of getting life insurance on kids, unless they're a child prodigy that does a lot of commercials and they provide a lot of income you're counting on. Usually, when we have kids, we signed up that we're going to raise them and we're going to spend a lot of money to raise them
mm-hmm.
and it's going to cost a lot more to raise them and we already were going to do that anyway than to plan on them dying and how much it's going to cost for that. So even though you'll find child policies are pretty inexpensive, in fact, the number one thing I would stay away from is buying life insurance from someone that sells baby food. I don't know who that might be.
Exactly.
But we tend to discourage people taking out life insurance mm-hmm. policies on their kids rather than invest that money for their future instead of buying life insurance.
And like Tom's kind of alluding to, having cash on hand is important.
Mm-hmm.
So, making sure that, if you do have kids, you're able to take care of mm-hmm. them. You know that, they're going to need diapers next month. That's not mm-hmm. a surprise. Or they're going to need to eat the next day. That's, you got to have some cash and those emergencies too.
Right. Yeah, I think that, we get caught up, we get the emergency fund thought process.
Right.
I guess that's a little bit easier to think of. You need money in case you lose your job.
Right.
You need money in case you have a major car, something happens, you have an illness. But I think where we put our heads in the sand about our month-to-month budgets is those things that are going to happen. We just don't know when they're going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a monthly bill, but we're going to always have something.
Mm-hmm.
And have that what we call a put-and-take account, cash, is so important because when you have those type of things covered ahead of time and you're planning for them, then you're bound to be better investors and better about your money than you're always scrambling around how you're going to pay for the latest kid's soccer uniform or the activity fee at school or all those kind of things or a dental filling or a cavity or whatever. I think, and I've become more and more a proponent since I've been here about that because you see that every day.
Yeah.
You can tell people you need to put 5-10% in their 401ks or trying to build that up, but they're always like, seems like they're always just frantic because they can't keep up with the day-to-day bills.
Right.
So having that cash that's there to there to be spent and not there just as an emergency is
mm-hmm.
really important. It's kind of a extension of your emergency fund for the day-to-day stuff that aren't emergencies, but they're going to happen.
Right, and that's part of that building that foundation to
mm-hmm.
a solid financial plan.
Yeah.
So just getting that emergency fund and then that put and take, too.
Yep.
That's important.
Yep, I think it's really important. And people have to figure out what their put and take should be.
Yeah.
We have a budget philosophy of putting 20% of your monthly income into a put and take account. Well, if you make $5,000 a month, that's $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big chunk to go into just regular savings. So that's why people need to be paying attention to where they're spending the money, how much they're spending, to then feel, okay, what is going to work for them?
Yep.
Because, you know, if you didn't have anything happen for a while, you're building up a lot of cash in this, and you're putting in a lot, but you're not taking much. So you need to, what's the right fit for it? And everybody's a little bit different.
Exactly. So just making sure that, you know, we're not saying everybody needs a certain amount. It's based on your situation. And that's the same thing with life insurance. So talk to somebody if you have questions on it, or call an insurance agent or financial planner and just have that discussion about what your needs are. And that's probably the best way to start.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in, and we appreciate you listening to our podcast, which we aim to do weekly. So if you have any ideas, anything you're interested in learning about, please contact us at petsofinancial.com or email us at petsofinancial@petsofinancial.net. Thanks.